Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Actually, it's amazing to me how many people love Amazing Grace. People who never darkened the door of a church can sing this hymn. When I meet with unchurched folks, say, to plan a memorial service, they may say, well, we don't really want you talking about God, but could we sing Amazing Grace? I don't know, maybe we can thank Judy Collins for this with her widely listened to recording many years ago, or maybe it was those bagpipes, I don't know. But there are times when I wonder, are people really listening to these words that saved a wretch like me? Now, you really consider yourself to be a wretch? I mean, there was that time I made a very ill-advised hospital call on the evening of our wedding anniversary. But generally, I don't look into the mirror and say, now, there's a wretch. Actually, I know of churches where instead of singing wretch, they will sing like a soul like me or that saved a child like me. But I'm not sure the author, John Newton, who came to write this hymn from the midst of what he felt was a pretty wretched life from which he had been saved, I don't know if John Newton would approve of us fooling with the words. And then there is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. What does it mean to be lost? Anyone here ever feel lost? When Jesus announced to Zacchaeus that he had come to seek and save the lost, it's not hard to imagine Zacchaeus saying, did you say lost? Yes, I'll admit, I've made some mistakes, maybe cheated some people now and then. But don't you think you're overstating things just a bit, Jesus? I mean, look at the balance in my checkbook. Look at this house in which I lived. Does this look like lost to you? Now, a couple weeks ago, when I was preaching on salvation, I essentially admitted I'd run out of time. There was some more to be said, and so we're at salvation part two today. And I really want to focus on Jesus' words about seeking and saving and finding the lost. Can such words possibly have anything to say to us? Again, do you ever feel lost and in need of being found? Fred Craddock shares a story about a time that he was at a large conference for preachers. He himself, of course, is a noted preacher. He says, after the last session, there was a large reception to which all were invited, and all were there. Those preachers will never miss a free lunch, I'll tell you right now. Okay? I had missed lunch, he says. So I pushed my way quickly to one of the serving tables, and it was there that I met him. We exchanged names, but I was not really able to shake hands because I had a cup of punch in one hand and a plate of goodies in the other. And he couldn't shake hands with me because he was occupied with a very large camera. I said, well, looks like you're going to do some serious picture taking. It had better be serious, he said. I'm here to cover this event for the local paper. I said, oh, you're the religion editor. No, no, she's sick, and I was asked to fill in at the last minute. I've never been to an event like this before. I said, well, what'd you think of the lecture tonight? Oh, I didn't hear it. Oh, I'm sorry you weren't there. It was exceptional. Oh, I was there all right. I just didn't hear it. Now, I was trying to understand how someone could be there and not hear the lectures. I just asked, well, why? He said, I guess I was preoccupied. I'm going to need some help on reporting what was said. You're in luck, I said. The speaker's still here. I'm sure she'd be glad to give you an interview. Well, maybe later, but right now I'd really like to talk with you. I said, about what? If it's about the speech, I really think you need to talk to the speaker. Well, it's not about the speech. It's about me. Someone told me you could give me a few minutes. Says Craddock, I saw in his face not the curiosity of a reporter, but the distress of a troubled spirit. We moved aside to a corner to get as much privacy as an occasion like that will provide. He said, I don't know where to start. I'm discontented. I guess in the church you would say I don't have peace of mind. I said, you're discontented with what? Your work? No, I love my work. I've always wanted to be in the newspaper business. So you love your work, but you want something more. Is that it? Well, no. You know, everybody wants more. It's not more than I want. It's different. I want different. Sounds like you're bored. No, I'm not bored. I wish I were bored. If I were bored, then something inside of me would be dead or asleep, and that would be better than this. What do you mean, than this? He said, well, I feel kind of like I've been running all the bases, but haven't hit a home run. Do you ever notice the kids in a small town cruising Main Street back and forth, round and round they go? They burn up a tank of gas and go home. That's kind of how it is for me. Do you have any friends that feel that way? Well, I don't know. You know, we don't talk about it. They seem to be satisfied. I'm not sure they are. They talk too loud. They laugh too much. They compliment too quickly, join all the clubs too readily. I don't think so. Does anyone here this morning know what that man was talking about? Do you understand what he was feeling? Any of you ever feel like you're touching all the right bases but not hitting a home run? Just burning gas, going back and forth on Main Street and not really getting anywhere. I think of the story of the old retired greyhound who, when asked why he quit racing, said, I discovered that what I was chasing was not really a rabbit. All that running and running and running, and what I was chasing was not even real. Now, I'm a preacher. I can have a story about a talking dog if I want here today. Eh? But again, you ever feel that way? I once was lost. And there can be so many different ways to be lost in exile, far from home. Could Jesus be talking about us? Some words from that noted theologian Bob Dylan come to mind. How does it feel? How does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, like a rolling stone? I've always liked these words from Barbara Brown Taylor. On any given night, however comfortable we may be and however secure our future may seem, we remain vulnerable to a certain heaviness of heart that can come upon us for no apparent reason at all. It may begin as a flutter in the chest or a full-blown ache, a sudden hollowness inside, a peculiar melancholy, an inexplicable homesickness. Have you ever felt it? The sense that there is a place you belong, but you've somehow gotten separated from, a place that misses you as much as you miss it, that is calling you to return, only you do not know where or how to get there. All you know is that you're not there yet, and that life will not be complete until you are. Once read about a Sunday morning at a church when the minister didn't show up. Announcements were made, people stood up, sang the opening hymn, sat down, looked around and wondered, now what? Just then a side window opened and the minister crawled in through the window, robes and all. Went up to the front, proceeded to lead the service and preach as if nothing unusual had happened. Later, when asked why he did such a thing, he responded, "Well, you know, everybody just sits out there looking so bored all the time. I thought I'd give him a little something extra." Well, I guess that's one way to address people's sense of maybe being a little homeless, a little lost. I'm not sure that's what Jesus is talking about here. And of course, on every corner of town, especially in this part of the world, there are people quite willing to give us advice on how to find peace of mind and happiness and fulfillment. There's always another set of self-help CDs you can buy and listen to. I should know. I've certainly bought enough of them for myself over the years. But then I recall some hauntingly familiar words. "Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices." I don't know in what ways you may be feeling lost. I don't know if you feel lost at all. This sermon may be totally inappropriate and make no sense to you in your life whatsoever. That's one of the joys of preaching, I guess. And yet, I talk with so many people who do feel trapped by all the old patterns of fear and self-seeking, self-doubt, self-torment, old habits of indifference or even self-destruction. People who on the surface seem to be doing just fine, but in their heart of hearts do feel far from home and clueless as to how to ever get back. And then a word is spoken, a word about seeking and saving the lost, the word about a shepherd of such extravagant goodness that he will not tolerate even a 1% loss and who rejoices over every single one who is found. And the word suggests that we who strive so hard perhaps need to step back and let ourselves be found. That we who are out there seeking are also being sought. Says Craddock, "When our parents, Adam and Eve, left the Garden of Eden, God whispered into their ear saying, 'I will come for you.' They didn't understand that as a promise. They thought it was a threat, and so they ran. And they've been running ever since. Hiding in the midst of tears, hiding under running laughter, hiding in shopping sprees, hiding in travel, hiding in the upward spiral of strength and power, hiding in bad relationships, sometimes even hiding in church. You can hide in a group that says it's searching for God. Maybe you need to let God find you. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices." The words of T.S. Eliot, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Because finally, true life comes not in knowing, but in being known, not in seeking, but in being sought, not in finding, but in being found. And the one we are looking for, the one we are looking for is right here and has been here all the time. He comes to us, he finds us where we are. And then that place, whatever or wherever it happens to be, that place begins to feel like home."